It is the season for mock NBA drafts, and I am not immune from trying to make the Memphis Grizzlies better in a mock fashion. So over at Bluff City Media, we are currently in the midst of the community mock NBA draft that we used to run over at Grizzly Bear Blues. I have made a couple of shakeups on the Memphis Grizzlies that we're going to talk about here on this episode. But first, I do want to react to the Ja Morant news that I didn't get a chance to talk about last week. Let's go ahead and lock in on this Monday edition of Locked On Grizzlies.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is a Monday, and that could make things a little bit difficult at times, but at least you're with Joe Mullinax, one of your hosts on Locked On Grizzlies. I'll do my best to ease you into the work week a little bit better, wherever you are catching Locked On Grizzlies, whether you get your podcast free as proud members of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every day, free and available again, on any podcast platform, basically any, as well as on YouTube. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all those fun things continue to make DeMichael and I, obviously I'm flying solo on this Monday edition of the show, but DeMichael Cole, my co-host of The Commercial Appeal, and myself are so glad that you join us whenever you join us for Locked On Grizzlies. This episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I do want to talk about all the fun and craziness that's happening over at Bluff City Media, since DeMichael's not participating in that event, the Community Mock NBA Draft. Since I'm flying solo for this episode this week, I thought it would be a good day to kind of talk through my thought process, both in terms of a trade that I made that I thought people would be more proud of me for, and there's some folks that are still mad. I think people just like to be mad at me, I've decided, as I've become more used to covering this team over the last decade or so. And then the actual draft pick that I've selected in the first round of the mock, because believe it or not, I did pick at number 25 overall. Wasn't a huge fan of having to make that selection, but I did, and I thought I did a pretty good job, and I'll explain my rationale. But first, I want to react to this, and I know that our Friday episode of the show, DeMichael did a tremendous job talking about this, and I'm not going to go too deep into it. I just wanted to take our first segment here, and we'll move along. But again, if you missed Friday's episode, check out DeMichael on it, talking about the Ja Morant situation and the announcement from Adam Silver at his annual Before the Finals Begin press conference when asked about the Ja Morant situation. And this is from Tim McMahon on Twitter, at ESPN underscore McMahon. Adam Silver on Ja Morant. We've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. We probably could have brought it to a head now, but we've made the decision that it would be unfair to these players and these teams to announce that decision in the middle of this series. Now, to me, that's interesting for three reasons. Number one, the very first sentence, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. What does that reference? Is that referencing additional activity on social media that perhaps has not been brought to the public attention? Does that have to do with getting Ja Morant's side of the story? And perhaps it makes it seem lesser than the obvious second time offense in a relatively short amount of time? Did they do enough of an investigation into the behaviors of Ja Morant that they found things beyond what we know in terms of social media use, the flashing of guns on Instagram Live? Is there something beyond what is already common knowledge? Now, DeMichael Cole, of course, the beat writer for the Memphis Grizzlies for the Commercial Appeal. Next time we're together, I'll be sure to see if there's any additional follow-up information in the days that have followed this announcement from Adam Silver that, again, I feel was significant. Maybe it won't mean the suspension will be significant, and we'll talk more about that here in a moment. But that first sentence, we've uncovered a fair amount of additional information. About what, Adam? That seems pretty significant. And to go out and do my second point, we probably could have brought it to a head now, So they feel like they're in a comfortable place to make a decision, but they didn't want it to distract from the NBA finals. Well, first off, you already blew that assignment, right? You already blew that part of the gig, because the next day on all the ESPN platforms and social media, people were trying to figure out, including our own DeMichael Cole on this podcast, what the heck does Adam Silver mean by not wanting to distract from the finals? He didn't say that word for word. It would be unfair to these players and these teams to announce that decision in the middle of the series. And the full statement, which would be my third point, makes it seem like it's more so that than perhaps the scope of the suspension. Because Ja Morant is obviously one of the biggest stars in the NBA. His shoes are still selling like hotcakes when they do get released, even in limited numbers, which DeMichael Cole, my partner here on Locked On Grizzlies, has reported, correctly reported. But when they are being released in limited edition or limited scope, they're being scrapped up like hotcakes. Still a very marketable star, arguably the first, as DeMichael has talked about on this show, the first Gen Z superstar of the NBA. This is an inflection point in his career, in his life. How he responds and what this looks like is going to have a dramatic impact on what the rest of his career, the next 5, 10, 15 years, appears like. So the amount of thought that's been into it is intriguing. Obviously, it's been several weeks. The fact that they've taken enough thought that they think it's a big enough deal that it could disrupt the NBA Finals, of which the Denver Nuggets look pretty good at this moment. But to be fair to the Nuggets players, to be fair to the Miami Heat, they didn't want to distract from the series. That tells me that it's going to be significant. Now, what does significant mean to you? Would maybe be my fourth point. I know I said three, but if you've been following my Grizzlies career for a while, you know I can hardly ever control myself in terms of talking. What significant means? I think that you could be looking at the most significant suspension in the history of the NBA with regard to this type of behavior, right? With regard to this type of behavior. Because when you look at the suspension lengths in the history of the NBA, obviously there are varieties, right? Whether it's Miles Bridges, whether it is going back to the Malice of the Palace days with Ron Artest, there are a variety of things that could make this a significant suspension because of behavior that's going to be being punished, right? I think that's important to point out. I am intrigued by if they are going to, 38 games, right, is the number that gets thrown around a lot involving Gilbert Arenas, Tavares Crittenden, having the guns on the team, playing in the locker room, flashing the gun to one another. That would be a pretty substantial suspension if Ja was at that number almost half the NBA season. But again, this was in NBA facilities. So is that where the additional information comes from? Do they now have evidence that Ja would bring these guns to the arena? That's complete speculation. I'm asking, I don't know. And the lack of clarity from Commissioner Silver doesn't help. So it leads to unhealthy speculation. Knowing what we know in this present moment, 38 games would be, in my opinion, way too much. Way too much. You cost a young man half of his season. That's a substantial amount of money. I don't see how the union for these NBA players doesn't get involved if 38 is the number. And coming off of a brand new CBA extension being signed and agreed to and ratified, I don't know if that's the energy that the NBA wants to lead off with. I also think that there needs to be something done to try to show that this is significant and this is serious. So somewhere in the realm of 17 games, between 15 and 20, I would be supportive of that. As a Grizzlies blogger, podcaster, whatever you want to call me, I think that is fitting of the fact that he did this once, swore up and down he was remorseful, and then was not remorseful, or at least his actions didn't back up his words. So between 15 and 20, and that would still be a pretty, significant suspension because of the behavior and the repeat offender nature of the behavior. How that ties into what Commissioner Silver was talking about obviously remains to be seen. But the fact that he said that they found additional information makes this more interesting. Because I've been basing all of this conversation, aside from the wild speculation a moment ago, off of what we know right now. And Adam Silver is saying that we know more, or they know more, than we do at this present time. We're going to move away from John Morant and get into the wild and wonderful world of the Bluff City Media, Grizzly Bear Blues, Community Mock, NBA Draft. But first, before we do that, this episode of Locked On Grizzlies is brought to you by Prize Picks. Friendly reminder that Prize Picks is currently in the midst of their own crazy promotion, the Daily Superflex, $1 million every day of the NBA Finals now. One Prize Picks user gets a chance at becoming a millionaire. One entry placed after 8 a.m. EST, Eastern Standard Time, will be randomly selected each day. If you get six correct picks in that randomly selected draw, you get $1 million. Five correct picks, $80,000. Four correct picks, $16,000. Full details can be found at prizepicks.com/million. And friendly reminder, you're competing against projections, not people, over at Prize Picks. You get to do this for the NBA as well as Major League Baseball, any other sport like the WNBA going on, soccer, of course, NASCAR. Safe and fast withdrawals, currently easy to use in over 30 states as well as in Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with a promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code Locked On and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. I traded for Jaylen Brown without giving up Desmond Bane. Why are people not applauding me universally? We're going to talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, chief content creator or editor, whatever you want to call me, at least in the interim over at Bluff City Media. I'm a Grizzlies columnist over there. Most of the time, you'll notice I'm flying solo. I am without DeMichael Cole, the commercial appeal there in Memphis, Tennessee. Beat writer for the Grizzlies. When he's back on with us tomorrow, again, maybe there's more information that he scrounged up about Ja. I'm interested to talk to him about it. Again, I listened to the show Friday. I thought he gave a lot of great perspective. I just wanted to give my two cents there in the opening segment on that Adam Silver statement from before game one of the NBA Finals. But let's get irresponsible, right? Let's start talking about mock NBA drafts, and in particular ones where you can conduct trades. Because why else would you do a mock NBA draft if you cannot swing for the fence and do some thought exercises? Now, when I do these mocks, and I've said this before, I am not doing these things because I would necessarily A, do them myself in reality if I was the GM of the Memphis Grizzlies, and B, if I ever thought they were actually going to occur. I do them as thought exercises. What would it be worth to try to acquire? I'll just throw out the name, Jason Tatum, because I'll be honest, in the mock draft over at Bluff City Media that you can read about throughout the week over at bluffcitymedia.co, we also have a Twitter thread over on my Twitter account at Joe Mullinax for each day of the mock draft. You can see who got selected, what kind of trades were done, all those fun things. I tried to get Jason Tatum, and I almost got Jason Tatum from the Boston mock GM. He backed off at the last minute because he was worried that it was going to look a little too much far gone. Understandably so. I was going to send out Desmond Bane basically the entire next decade of draft as far up as I could go for the Memphis Grizzlies between pick swaps and unprotected first and whatever salary he wanted to match for Jason Tatum. Can you imagine John Morant, Jason Tatum, and Jaren Jackson Jr. as your big three? Yes, please. Sounds like a championship core to me. We didn't get that done, but we did come to an agreement on Jaylen Brown, and he was fairly down the mock GM for the Boston Celtics. And the way that the mock draft works, it's a lot of Bluff City Media folks, a lot of our podcasters, writers, content creators, And it's also, you know, Twitter users, people that follow the blog, people that follow on Twitter or active in our Discord channels. And they are also part of this Bluff City Media mock draft. And the person running the Boston Celtics felt that Boston was pretty down and out on Jaylen Brown, given how his postseason ended and given how much money Jaylen Brown could potentially be owed in his next contract. So the trade was as follows. I received the mock Grizzlies. I received Jaylen Brown, and I also received the number 35 pick in the draft. And I'll talk more later about how I use that pick, probably on another episode of Locked On Grizzlies. And in return, in exchange, I send to Boston Tyus Jones, Luke Kennard, Zaire Williams, picks number 45 and number 56. So I essentially traded those two to move up to 35. And three future first-round picks. Now, I'll be honest, I didn't go into super detail about which ones those are because this is a one-year mock draft, right? We're not going to keep track of this going into the 2024 GBB Community Mock NBA Draft, assuming such a thing even exists a year from now. Assuming the world still exists a year from now. Am I right? So anyway, I go with this trade, and I don't think he's going to accept it because I think that's a pretty low ball offer, to be honest with you. Like Tyus Jones, we can say he's a starting point guard, but for the Memphis Grizzlies, he's a reserve, right? Luke Kennard is a reserve. He's not a starter. He's a reserve. The Clippers just traded him for Danny Green and a couple of second-round picks. And then whatever salary you want to match beyond that, Zaire Williams was the pick here, a young, talented player, but that regressed in his sophomore campaign to compare to his rookie one. To send those three items out plus three first-round picks and to get Jaylen Brown back is a massive win, isn't it? Wrong answer. A lot of people thought I did a good job, but a lot of people on Twitter thought that I was crazy. A lot of recency bias against Jaylen Brown, who, if he arrived in Memphis, would be the second best player on the team. Okay. Jaylen Brown was a second team all NBA selection literally just a few weeks ago for this past season that got completed. So if you want to say that Ja Morant is better than Jaylen Brown, I think you're right. I agree with that sentiment. Don't say he's better than Desmond Bane because he's not. Don't say that Desmond Bane is better than him because he's not. And don't say that Jaren Jackson Jr. is better than him because he's not. Jaylen Brown would be the second best player on the team. Desmond Bane probably becomes your fourth best player. And what a title core that is, right? That's not meant as disrespect or slight to Bane. Holy crap, Desmond Bane's your fourth best dude? A guy that can score 20 a night on a really good basketball team? Okay. Let's go win a championship. But people were concerned about fit. How is Jaylen Brown going to fit with the Memphis Grizzlies? People were concerned about the new CBA and all the types of punishments that come along with being at that second tax apron. First off, I've read the new CBA, okay? I get paid to do these things. I get paid to cover the Memphis Grizzlies by the Locked On Podcast Network, by Bluff City Media. I have two paid jobs covering these Grizzlies. You think I didn't read the new CBA? I'm aware of all the punishments. I just don't care. Robert Parris says that he wants to pay the tax for a quality title contender. Here's your shot, big guy. Here's your shot. A chance to do it in this trade. You have a championship core of four guys that you can build around, and you're going to have to pay the luxury tax. And yeah, Zach Kleiman, executive of the year, you're going to have to get creative. It just got harder to sign guys. It just got harder to bring in veteran minimum players. It just got harder to use the mid-level exception. How are you going to respond? Are you going to acquire second-round picks? How are you going to do that? How are you going to fit and mix and mingle with the best core four players in the National Basketball Association? That's questions that me, as the mock GM of the Grizzlies, with my wonderful co-GM, Zach Kleiman, we'd have to figure out. But you go and acquire talent. You go and bring in the talent. And regarding fit, Jaylen Brown is an eater of worlds. He is what Dillon Brooks thinks he is. Dillon Brooks thinks that he's Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown can do a lot of the things, especially on offense, that Dillon Brooks thinks he can do. Dillon cannot actually do them. Jaylen Brown actually can. Is Jaylen the answer defensively? Maybe not. You might have to bring in an additional replacement in that way. Maybe the mid-level exception's committed to that, or a second-round pick is committed to that. And again, we'll talk more about that on a future episode of Locked On Grizzlies from my mock GM perspective. But again, the trade was, I thought I did good. The trade was Jaylen Brown and number 35 coming to Memphis in exchange for Tyus Jones, Luke Kennard, Zaire Williams, 2 second-round picks and 3 future firsts. People were mad at me. I don't see it. Maybe in the comments you can tell me if I'm a genius or not. I felt pretty smart. And again, I understand the new CBA. It makes it more difficult. I understand that there's going to be money questions. I get it. Robert Pera is in the top 12 or so richest sports owners on the planet. Here's your chance, Bob. Pay some mock bucks, right? I'm going to explain my first round pick, who I went with at number 25 overall, because Boston didn't want that in the mock draft proceedings. So I did make a selection at number 25. We're going to talk about that next here on Locked On Grizzlies. Don't go anywhere. Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies, final part of the show here. I am your host, Joe Mullinax, flying solo, as you'll notice. No DeMichael Cole this time around. He'll be back with me tomorrow. I do miss DeMichael so when he is not here on Locked On Grizzlies, but he's a busy guy. He'll be back tomorrow. I talked about Ja Morant at the beginning of the show. My thoughts, since I wasn't on the end of the week episode with DeMichael, to talk about Adam Silver's comments on the upcoming announcement of a Ja Morant decision regarding what's going on with him. And I also talked about getting Jaylen Brown without trading away one of the big three, thinking I'm a genius, people still being mad at me. Let's get to the actual pick. With the 25th pick in the 2023 Bluff City Media Grizzly Bear Blues Community Mock NBA Draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select Colby Jones, guard, Xavier. I loved this pick. I was super excited about it. I've mentioned Colby Jones on this show recently with DeMichael as a player that I could see as a wonderful long-term fit next to Ja Morant without Tyus Jones. Colby Jones is not a traditional point guard. I wouldn't even necessarily say he's a combo guard after watching his film. I think that he can do some secondary facilitation things, but he is more of a traditional shooting guard as opposed to an NBA combo or point guard. He does not have the best three-point stroke, okay? That is important to point out. His form looks rough. He shot well at Xavier this past season, almost 38% from beyond the arc. But again, when you compare that to the college game, when you compare that to his free throw percentage, which a lot of folks say in terms of technique and shooting mechanics, the free throw percentage and the three-point shot, there's a lot of connection there. He was a poor free throw shooter at Xavier, about 65%. So not great. Not great in that particular area. So as a replacement for Luke Kennard, this isn't that. And I'll talk about how I tried to replace Luke Kennard in the second round on another episode of Locked On Grizzlies this week, hopefully. I tried to replace Tyus Jones with Colby here. Jones for Jones. Tyus is gone. Colby comes in. And here's why. Because in my opinion, after breaking down tape, obviously there's other guards, Jordan Hawkins, Anthony Black, the Thompson brothers. They are probably higher up in the rankings, especially the guys at the top, Thompson's and Black, even maybe Hawkins too. But I think Jones is behind those guys. I know like a lot of people like Keontae George from Baylor. I'm a Colby Jones guy. You want to know why? Because he's smart offensively. He had one of the very best assist-to-turnover ratios in the entire college basketball world in the 2022-2023 season. He was exquisite. As a shooting guard, perimeter player, secondary facilitator, creating offense for others. He averaged 4.4 assists per game, 4.7 assists per 36 minutes. Again, that is a strength of his game. And he was also a solid finisher. He shot almost 51% overall from the field, despite not being as prolific from three as you'd like him to be. He also got 6 rebounds per 36 minutes, according to Tankathon.com. As I've mentioned before, that's one of my favorites to use. So the assist to turnover ratio, the assist to usage, all these different types of measurements, his body, his frame, the way that he's able to finish at the basket. I see Colby Jones as a replacement for Tyus. And the reason I say that you can do that while acknowledging that he is not the same player as Tyus Jones is they have comparable skill sets, comparable skills. Colby Jones is very smart with the basketball in his hands, just like Tyus Jones. Colby Jones plays beyond his years in terms of experience, understanding pace and spacing, creating for others, getting them their looks in the space that they want. Very similar to Tyus Jones. Obviously, Tyus is smaller, and obviously, Tyus is a little more fleet of foot. I think he has a little bit better quickness. The floater game of Tyus will be missed. That's a strength of his. You have to respect that if you're an opponent. And Tyus had a decent season shooting the three. In my mock world and universe where I trade away Luke Kennard, I'm going to have to address that somewhere, which again, I will later in the draft, and we'll talk about on another episode down the road. But I did want to bring in someone who is going to be able to, in a world where it's by committee, Desmond Bane is the backup point guard. Luke Kennard plays along with him. Colby Jones could be another guy that could be that de facto secondary co-facilitator and creator of offense. He showed it at Xavier in the way that he was able to dribble penetrate, not the best I'll handle in the world, but good enough to create space. And the most important thing is he knows what to do with the space when it becomes available. That's extremely valuable, especially entering the NBA where that space closes so much more quickly because of the length and athleticism, the quickness. The NBA floor is smaller than any basketball floor on the planet because of the size and scope of the athleticism that all 450 guys have to varying levels and degrees. So how do you address that? You bring in a bigger wing who has a comparable skill set to Tyus Jones. Tyus is better at it. Tyus is the best in the NBA at it the last 5 years, right, in terms of assist to turnover ratio. Tyus struggled in the playoffs, but we can't be prisoners of the moment. Over a much larger sample size, Tyus Jones is exquisite with the ball in his hands and as a decision maker. Kudos to him. But the reality is, if Tyus Jones is going to be a piece to help Memphis bring in another wing like a Jaylen Brown, hypothetically in this mock draft, probably wouldn't happen in real life. That's where the madness comes into play. But say Tyus Jones in 3 first-round picks gets you OG Anunoby. OG Anunoby would be in a similar situation where he's not a creator off the dribble. He's an excellent defender, very good catch-and-shoot three-point guy, can do a little bit off the dribble and off the bounce, but he's not facilitating like Tyus Jones. You have to replace that somehow. And if you are not going to replace it via the draft or the mid-level exception, which maybe Memphis could, you have to do it somehow. You have to bring in someone who has that capacity to make good decisions with the basketball in their hands. Colby Jones does it. And that makes him unique among Zaire Williams, in my opinion. Zaire's gotten some work as that point guard in summer league and things like that. But watching Colby Jones tape and watching early Zaire Williams tape, and in fairness, Colby is a little older and at this stage of his college career and development than Zaire was. But Colby is more mature with his game than Zaire was in college. Just in my evaluation of the two talents, that's true. So I'm more comfortable with Colby Jones coming in and having that type of responsibility. You don't see that from David Roddy. You don't see that from Jake LaRavia. Those guys have specific sets of skills that do not address what losing Tyus Jones would need to bring about. That creation, that facilitation, that ability off the dribble to be a creator for others. And Colby Jones of Xavier would do that. He has the size and the length where I think he'd be a decent defender. 6'8 wingspan, 6'6 height. So I think between that and his lateral movement, he'll be an okay defender. He won't be a world beater. And again, maybe you use that mid-level exception to try to address that. But those of you that have been following Lockdown Grizzlies know my opinion on the backup point guard position, regardless of the Ja Morant suspension. That doesn't matter here. I agree with Anthony Sain and DeMichael and others that have made this point. This is a team that has to start thinking about April and May. We know that with Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr., if those guys are healthy, you bring Steven Adams back in the fold, they're going to be in the playoff picture with or without Ja Morant. With Ja, they'd probably be in the top two in the Western Conference. With Tyus, maybe they're top three, top four. Maybe without Tyus, they're 5th, 6th, or 7th. But who cares if they're 5th, 6th, or 7th in February? That's not as important as where you finish. The Lakers proved that this year. The Miami Heat proved that this year. You just got to get in the dance, man. You just got to get there. And finding a way to get there and getting to that point and being as ready as possible when the playoffs begin. That needs to be one of the transitions of thinking for the Memphis Grizzlies. Tyus is your most tradable asset. You move him along, bring in a wing at number 25 overall. If you're able to keep that pick, you make a selection to try to replicate some of the talent you lost. I didn't do that with the three-point shooting here. I'm going to have to do that at some point in the mock draft. But here, I think I brought in someone who can help replicate. Again, Bane, Kennard, Jones, Colby Jones. If those three are on the floor at the same time, those are three guys that can create off the dribble a little bit, varying degrees. Those are three guys who make good decisions with the basketball, and those are three guys who have complementary offensive skills. And those are three guys that I would be very excited to watch compete for the Memphis Grizzlies. So Colby Jones was my pick. What do you think? Do you think that was the right selection? Let me know in the comments below if you're listening on YouTube or wherever you're listening podcast-wise. Thank you so much for listening and watching. However you're taking in Locked On Grizzlies, I appreciate it so very much. So does DeMichael. As mentioned previously, DeMichael Cole will be back with me talking everything NBA, maybe take a quick hit on the NBA Finals. Obviously, Game 2 will have been wrapped up. We'll see how the series is transitioning going into Miami, all those sorts of things. We can talk about the John Morant situation, if there's any updates, anything else that could potentially be going on as the draft approaches. And like I said, maybe we can work in what I do in the second round with the Memphis Grizzlies on our next episode as well. Make sure you're checking out Locked On NBA and all the other great podcasts that are parts of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team each and every day, free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We're also available on YouTube. Like, comment, rate, review, subscribe, all those fun things. Thank you so much for starting your week with me. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll check you out next time. Until then, this is Joe Mullinax. Stay locked in, Grizzlies fans. This is Locked On Grizzlies.